Thank you, Brother Geis. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter number 24. As you're turning there, I want to read you a little note that Pastor sent to me just before I came up to the pulpit and wanted to share with his church. He said, "Dear church, my heart is with you as I am away from beautiful Kansas. Please know that my experience here in Florida has not been good. To start, the weather has been a disappointment. After being so used to the rain in Kansas, my heart was let down by all the sunshine. I will be embarrassed to be wearing a tan when I come home. It has been getting old at 75-degree weather. The beach with all its white sand and its water with its crystal clarity does not compare to the brownish rivers back home. Please know that I look forward to being with you. I cannot leave Florida any faster, Pastor." Our pastor needs prayer today, folks. He really does. We have a special guest, in the audience today. My folks, Pastor Harold and Susan Burkholder, are here from Michigan and spending the week with me. And I feel honored that they would come all the way over here. Although it's not really hard to come and spend time with your favorite son. I imagine that must have been fairly easy. But I am thankful nonetheless that they're here and got to be with me this week as I took some time away from the camp on a little bit of a staycation. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, if you're there and if you are able to, would you stand? I'm only going to read three verses and then we'll get right into the lesson after I give you my title. Starting at verse number 1 says, "Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign." I'll give you some history and some background on the life of King Joash here in just a second. His reign was 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest, which is a good thing. But if you would, look at verse number 17, if you would. It says, "Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass." So if you compare verse 2 to verse 17, there seems to be a defection from King Joash from the way that he was reared up in the ways of the Lord under the tutelage, protection of Jehoiada the priest. A defection to serving God, then to serving idols. And it didn't take much to turn him around. So this morning I want to talk to you about the downside of having a spiritual crutch. I believe Jehoiada became a crutch for Joash's personal faith. And when Jehoiada was removed from his life, he did not know how to function as a life of a king under God's house. So let's pray and let's ask God to meet with us this morning. And let's ask him and invite him to reveal in us if there's any crutches in our walk of faith that might need to be removed so that we could stand on our own two feet with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I do pray as we lift up our hearts and our hands towards prayer, I pray, God, that you would meet with us this hour. And I pray that you would chisel away the hard crustiness of our heart, anything that is preventing us from having a wonderful, full experience of our walk with God. Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, I pray that today, this morning, would be the morning of salvation, that they would repent of their sins and realize that life with God through Jesus Christ is the only way. And I pray, God, that if there's many of us here that are believers, Lord, if there's any area of error in our walk with you, that you would correct it. And Lord, help us to depend fully on the Lord Jesus Christ for our faith. Help us depend fully upon the Word of God. And if there are any weights of sin that are besetting us, that we would be ready to remove those at the altar today. And we pray that you would get all the glory and be magnified today. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As a way of illustration, I wanted to bring out a crutch that I brought from the camp this morning. And this is actually a message today, which was a devotional that I gave to our summer staff at the closing of the summer season. And so this morning, I want to bring to you that same challenge that I gave to them about not depending upon a crutch for your faith. Now, if you were to look at this crutch, you would understand the purpose of a crutch is to support you. And so a crutch is something that you depend on. It's something that you lean upon for a temporary period of time. It's not meant to serve you continually. It's only meant to help support you while you're currently handicapped. Now, this crutch currently is a little bit shorter than I am, which would be a first for me. Ryan, is this how it feels to be on top of the world? So today I feel like I have a lot of authority. But a crutch is something you depend on. And for the life of Joash, when it came to his relationship with the high priest Jehoiada, Jehoiada was that support system in his life. I mean, he was the one figure that was there for Joash when he didn't have a father and when he didn't have godly grandparents. In fact, the life of Joash was full of calamity. You talk about a fractured, broken home. That was the home life of Joash. When you think about the line of David all the way to this moment, you saw some bad eggs get into his family. And God's promise that there would never be anyone removed from the line of David was always true and was sure. But boy, the people that were in that family, well, there was some bad hombres, if you will. Let me give you a little bit of background on King Joash. We need to go back a few generations. If you remember, the good King Jehoshaphat, who served for 29 years, was a good king, and he made good choices in the land of Judah, and he installed good judges, and they had a great judicial system, and they did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, not because someone else was overlooking them. They just wanted to honor God. That was the man Jehoshaphat. He loved God, and he served God. He wasn't perfect. He made a few mistakes, but overall, he finished strong because he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord for himself. Well, then you have his son, who was King Jehoram. Now, Jehoram served only 8 years, a very short period of time, and he was a very bad king. He was not a good son at all. In fact, he married the daughter of King Ahab, and Jezebel, which was the name Athaliah. And she was a very wicked woman. Athaliah was, if we were to compare her to Jezebel, I would say she's almost more wicked than Jezebel. Not only did Jezebel murder the prophets, but Athaliah, her vindictiveness was on her own family. When King Jehoram died after being in battle, he got a disease. The Bible says very clearly that his bowels fell out of himself because of the judgment and the wrath that was upon him. So God sent this judgment, and all his sons were carried away with the Arabians and the Philistines. And then there was Athaliah, the queen. She took over, and her son, Ahaziah, ruled just for a short period of time, and then he died. And so she took the reins of the kingdom, and she wanted control for herself, and she is described as the daughter of Omri. Omri was the first bad, wicked king under Jeroboam in the nation of Israel. He was the worst king at that time until Ahab showed up on the scene. And so they're describing the lineage of wickedness from Omri to Ahab and now Athaliah. And so she decided she wanted the rule for herself, so she took all the children of her own son, all her grandchildren, she had them slain, except for King Joash, because God does not forget his people. He does not forget his promises. Joash's aunt, who was married to Jehoiada the priest, they preserved Joash. Athaliah didn't know about that. So they took Joash and his nurse, and they kept him privately in a room until the time of when he was about 7 years old, and they coronated him as king, and then Athaliah was executed for all of her crimes. Now, Jehoiada the priest was a godly man. Jehoiada the priest was a man that loved God, who was concerned about getting the house of God reformed. He was concerned that the nation would turn away from the wickedness, turn away from the judgments that God had sent, and then serve God as his own people, according to the word of God. He was zealous for the things of the Lord. He was passionate in his heart for the things of the Lord. In fact, they made a covenant, the people, starting with the priests and the Levites, that we would return and serve God the way he had set up our nation to be. And then they would coronate Joash to be the king. So Jehoiada was a good person in Joash's life. And by the way, we need some more Jehoiadas in people's lives today. Hey, Jehoiada was a support system. He was a substitute. He was a stand-in. He was a surrogate father for Joash. He was that uncle, but yet he actually ended up being his father and raised him in the ways of God. And boy, we need some good godly step parents. Hey, we need some good parents to rear their children under the same ways that Jehoiada did. Hey, the support system for him. Notice would be number one, that the support system for Jehoiada to Joash was stability. Through the stability, a family that was in chaos, a family that was being ripped apart from the seams, the one figure that it needed to stabilize all this chaos was a godly man, Jehoiada. And he invested himself in Joash, and he taught him the ways of God, and taught him the Bible, and taught him how to search after the right spouses for marriage, and taught him how to worship God in his house. Hey, we need some good support systems like this today. You know, we do our community initiative program for the camp, which is a ministry to a lot of the children in town. And boy, most of those children come in from a fractured, broken home system. And as you get involved in their lives and you hear their testimony, you find out that they don't have a consistent mother figure in the house. They don't have a consistent father figure presence that they have. They're either split between two homes or they're non-existent, period. And then you look at all the problems and the baggage that some of these children have. Well, you can go back because they don't have a good support system. Hey, I would say America today, the fabric of our society is ripped at the seams, not because we have a government issue, not because we have an education problems. We have family problems. We don't have a family unit designed by God with a mom and a dad giving the support to their children. Hey, stability, that's what Jehoiada was for him. Number two, he provided structure. In verse number two, it says, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada. So Jehoiada became this framework and this boundary for development for Joash. He knew which was right from wrong. He knew how to discern. He knew how to make good choices in his life because that structure was there for him. Hey, the boundaries. He told him a right way and a wrong way. Hey, standards, boundaries, they're good for us. Hey, they're good for you, children. Take teenager, when your parents say no, a lot of times it's for your benefit. It's for your safety. Hey, we need structure. We had a teenager come to one of the community programs, and I was a little surprised to see him. I had met him a few weeks earlier, and he wrecked into my friend's vehicle. And I was really surprised about that. And we said, hey, where's your parents? I don't know. Where's your dad? I don't know. Do you know how to drive a vehicle? No. No one's taught you that. No. And you look at that and you say, where's the structure for that home life? You want to know why the next generation is hooked on drugs and going down the right of rampant progressive liberalism and leaving our churches is probably because somewhere in the home there isn't the structure that they need, which is under the tutelage of the Word of God, in the local church where we ought to be as families, listening to the preaching of God's Word, being raised and reared in the precepts and commandments of the Lord. Hey, we need structure. Our children need structure. It's good for them. Hey, they need stability in a world that's becoming more and more unstable. Hey, the support system for Joash under Jehoiada provided stability, it provided structure, and it provided steering. It provided direction. Look at verse number three. It says, and Jehoiada took for him two wives. Now, if we're to evaluate this in this period, in this context, obviously God's not condoning polygamy. And I don't believe Jehoiada was intentionally trying to skirt the ways of God. In fact, actually, what I think he's trying to do in the context of those days is that he was trying to provide young ladies that would have been of the Judah home system, you know, relatives, people that were in church, if we can say in our context, you know, raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, coming from families that knew right and wrong, and they knew the Word of God. So Jehoiada did not want to fall, Jehoiada the priest did not want to fall in the trap where a child would be married over to the Israelite kingdom, which was of Ahab's house, which was wicked and far away from God. He wanted to make sure that he knew where he ought to pick from. He knew the right spouse that should be in his life. And so he was providing a steering, a direction, showing him the way he should go. And parents, that's our responsibility. It's not only to give a good home system for our children, but then to prepare them for tomorrow so that they can stand on their own 2 feet. Because one day they're going to leave our house and they are to cut the cord and they are to join themselves under somebody else. That's God's creative plan. That's what we've been learning on these Sunday morning series. And God's plan is for us to grow, but to build homes and families of faith. That's the plan. So it's our role to give the right steering, the right direction, to point them down the right road. That's all of our responsibility as parents. That's the support system that Jehoiada provided, and it was a good thing. This was a good thing. That this good thing in his life spilled over to his adult life, and it gave him a good spiritual drive. Hey, listen, if you have the right support system at home with our children, we'll be creating adults that can make good decisions in society, that can direct society in the right behavior. And here he had a good spiritual drive in him. Number one, this drive showed itself in his initiative to repair the house of God. Over a period of time, the temple would get dilapidated, and it would require that they would take some of the funds of part of the tax system, and they would take those funds and invest it in God's house. And we see that continually even here today with our own church, you know, with our budgets. We have a maintenance budget. Hey, the camp budget for the maintenance and, you know, just the overall structure, it needs a lot of work, and so we have to redesignate funds. Well, in those days, the system that was to provide funds to the temple were being ignored. And they weren't taking care of the house of God. So God's house was breaking down, and they had holes in the walls, and things were left trash in certain places. And so Joash comes, and one of his priorities, much like King Hezekiah, was that they would get the house of God repaired. Let's get it back into working order, because it reflects our life. It reflects everything about us. It's our connection to our God. And so he started the initiative to repair, which is the kind of the ironic thing. You'd think Jehoiada would have gave a command. Say, hey, Joash, first thing you need to do is we need to get the temple of God repaired. He didn't need to. You know why? Because Joash was taught what ought to be taken care of. He was taught the right things. He knew what needed to be taken care of on his own. And so it was of his own initiative that they start repairing the house of God. Hey, that's a good spiritual drive. I mean, if we want an indicator in our young people, if they're making good decisions, I think the best thing we can do is, are they choosing things that are in line of spiritual values? Hey, do they want to be in church? Do they want to do ministry? Do they want to go to a good Bible college? Or do they want to marry the right person in their life? I mean, if it's a spiritual drive, they'll take the initiative in doing what's right, which is good. Hey, the spiritual drive, it shows in the fact that he had initiative to repair God's house. Number two, it shows itself in his insistence to reform the system. He insisted of a reform. Look at verse number four. It says, and it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. He gathered together the priests, the Levites, and said to them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather all of Israel the money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hasten not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and he said to them, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? So he comes to Jehoiada, the man that's responsible to make sure the funds come in and that make sure that somebody's doing the job to repair the house. And so, like any good leader, you have to inspect what you expect, correct? So he gave the command, but no one followed through. So over a period of time, he comes and he finds out that no one's working around the walls and no one's picking up the trash and things are still left undone. So who does he go to? He goes to Jehoiada. And so it's Joash coming to Jehoiada, his substitute surrogate father, and said, hey, why are we not doing what ought to be done? Hey, that's a good spiritual drive. There's some good indicators that Joash, in and of himself, are making the right decisions. Hey, it's his insistence. Hey, we ought to be doing what's right. Hey, it's a good spiritual drive. Hey, things left undone in your life, does it bother you? He does it bother you when you haven't read your Bible in a while? He does it bother you if you haven't been to church over a period of time? He does it bother you if you haven't shared your faith in a while? Hey, where is your drive to make sure you're doing what's right? Hey, listen, a good spiritual drive is that you'll start doing something for the Lord, but you're going to see it through. It's a good indicator that God's doing something in you. Hey, his spiritual drive, it gave him that initiative to repair. Number two, he had an insistence on the reform. Number three, he had an incentive to do what's right. You know, we got to have good, positive reinforcements. We got to have good incentives to serve the Lord. And there's no better incentive than the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who appeased the wrath of God, and because of him, we can have life in him. There's no better incentive. You know why? Because you were saved from hell. And you deserved hell. But if it wasn't for Jesus, you'd still be going there. But when Jesus comes into your life and you place your faith in him, you've been given liberty. You've been released from the penalty of sin. You've been released from the dominion of the kingdom of darkness. And now you have liberty and grace to serve him. There's no better incentive, friends. I want you to notice the incentive in Joash. He says, hey, listen, we need to get the house of God repaired. We ought not to be slack in this thing. We ought to be hasty. We ought to be urgent. You know why? I'll tell you why. In verse number 7, he says, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also the dedicated things of the house of the Lord, did they bestow upon Balaam. You see, he knew what he was saved from. I've heard it said before, you tend to hate the sin that affects you the most. Hey, listen, if you're a byproduct of divorce, you may hate divorce. Hey, if you're the outcome of drunk driving, or if you've been on the downside of that, you may hate drunkenness and alcohol. If it's been in your home, you may hate it. You want to stay away from it. Hey, if you're in a relationship that's been affected by adultery and fornication, you may hate that. Hey, if you've been the byproduct of pornography, you may hate that the most because it affects you the most. Here, Joash says, I want to do what's right because I came from a life that was destroyed by wickedness and sin. And I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go down that life. I enjoy the stability and the structure that God has placed in my life. Why would I ever trade that up for that? That's a good incentive. To hate the sin that destroys us. It's a good incentive. It's a good indicator of a good spiritual drive in your heart. My friends, this is what Jehoiada brought to Joash's life. He brought this drive to do what's right, to honor God, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. But the question comes when you get to verse 17, what happened? Well, what took place for him to veer off this good path that he has? What would take us and steer us away from the Lord? I want you to see a sudden deviation. There was a support system that you depend on. There was a spiritual drive, but now a sudden deviation. And it happened in three different ways. Number one, the deviation, the defection came in who he followed. It says the princes of Judah came, they bowed down, and they flattered him. So through the means of flattery, they won him over. They tickled his ear, if you will. And so these princes came and then said, hey, listen, now that Jehoiada, the priest, is off your back, let me tell you what you ought to do in these circumstances. We're told actually in the book of 2 Kings, the reason why he began to listen to the princes most likely was because of the king of Syria was parked outside of the gates, ready to destroy Judah. And without Jehoiada being there to ask advice, to know what to do, the princes of Judah, who did not love God, grabbed the ear of Joash. Hey, listen, flattery could be one of the first gateway into sin, if you will. Hey, it's the fear of man. It's what brings a snare. Listen to what the book of Proverbs says about flattery. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. These princes of Judah, they had every intention to trap Joash and control him. Proverbs 27:6 says, "A faithful are the words of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Boy, you better be careful. You better beware who your friends are and what they're saying to you. I like Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 8. It says, "Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight." In other words, all the flattery is to set up this big ambush to pull them down. So it's in who we follow. Boy, the deviation from a good spiritual drive, doing what's right, can happen by in whom you follow, who you listen to. I see, secondly, it's in what he forgot. Verse 19, we're told that it says, "Yet he sent prophets to him," that's God, "to bring again unto the Lord, and they testified again to them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah." Listen to this. Listen to this. This is very, very interesting. He was the son of Jehoiada the priest. In other words, he was a brother to Joash. They were stepbrothers, but he was a brother. They may have grown up together, heard the same instructions from the same man. They knew what to do. They were taught the same precepts from the Word of God. Zechariah comes to confront Joash, which stood above all the people, and he said unto them, "Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord. He hath also forsaken you," and they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. I mean, you talk about falling hard. Zechariah, a brother to Joash, comes to confront him from his sin. He says, "Hey, listen, you have forgotten some certain things. You forgot what our dad taught us. And all these problems are coming upon our nation again. Because you forgot. You forgot." See, the Bible says this in verse number 22. "Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada," listen to this, "his father had done unto him, but slew his son." So Zechariah comes with a message from God. I imagine it's probably a message out of love. He loves Joash. He's concerned about Joash. He comes to bring God's words and says, "You need to turn this around." But that conversation ended up in death for Zechariah. Joash didn't want to hear the rebuke of the Lord. He didn't want to hear the instructions anymore. He'd had enough of it. And so he orders Zechariah's death through stoning. And the Bible says all this took place because he forgot the kindness of Jehoiada's father. You want to know how quick of a turnaround this was? Probably just a matter of a few years. According to what we know about the math, Joash served for 40 years. It was probably about year 33, 32, close to my age, that Jehoiada died. And it was in a span of maybe just a couple years. That's when Syria came and they started to take out Judah. You know why? You know why we fall into the traps of destruction from our enemies? You know why? It's because we forgot the kindness of God in our lives. He forgot the mercies that were upon him. He forgot the life that he was saved from, a life of destruction, a life of a family that was described as wicked from Omri and Ahab. He forgot that he was saved from that. Hey, he should have been a miracle child. He should have had the greatest chance for success. But he was blowing it because he forgot what God's done in his life. Oh, the deviations that we make from the good things of God in our life, it comes down because we're listening to somebody else and we forget the Word of God. Hey, that's why you ought to be in the Bible every day. It ought to be a decision that you make every morning or before you go to bed that you're going to be in God's Word. You know what? Because you don't want to forget what you've been saved from. Hey, the Bible says that sometimes we forget that we've been saved. We forget that we've been purged from our old sins. Hey, if you're struggling with your assurance of salvation, it's not a God problem. It's your problem. Hey, eternal security is not an issue with God. Jesus says, "No man can pluck them out of my hand." Hey, no man can pluck them out of God's hand. It's a twofold process. There's no separation between you and God when you get saved. But boy, if you deviate from the Word of God, and the Bible says if you don't add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance and brotherly kindness, hey, if these things be in you and abound, they'll make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the work of God. But if you fail to do that, you'll forget that you were purged from your old sins. Hey, if you're struggling to know if you're saved, if you're struggling to lay your head on your pillow at night in peace, wondering, am I going to be in heaven? It might not be a problem if God did his job. It could be a problem that you're not following through on your job. The assurance of salvation is us. It's not a God problem. And he forgot. He was listening to somebody else. This deviation, I want you to see, not only is it in who he followed, it's not only in what he forgot, but it's also in what he feared. In verse number 23, it says this, and it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people. And they sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with, listen, a small company. They came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a great host under their hand, because, listen, they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers, so they executed judgment against Joash. You know, what was he afraid of? What was his fear? Well, it wasn't just that he was afraid of Syria. I don't think that was the issue. Although, sometimes we are fearful of the enemies outside the camp. But the Bible tells us emphatically that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Friends, we have nothing to be afraid of when it comes to the devil. When you're saved, God's saved you from the wrath to come. Hey, aren't you glad that there's coming a day when the church of God's going to be raptured out of here? We don't have to go through the great tribulation that's coming. And you can miss it if you're saved. You don't have to go through that time. God's meant to save you from that. You don't have to fear the devil. You don't have to fear the demonic world, because God's stronger in you than he that is in the world. What a great promise. His fear could have been more in and of himself. You see, the Syrians came right after he made a good decision to clean up the house of God. He made a good choice. And a lot of times when you make good choices, the devil's ready to test you right after that. And God took Jehoiada out of the picture. Now's the chance for Joash to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord for himself. This is the test. But he was afraid. I wonder what he was afraid of. I believe it was an insecurity. An insecurity that he couldn't do it apart from Jehoiada. And that's what Jehoiada then became. Just a crutch. As long as Jehoiada was there, I'm doing all right. But you remove Jehoiada, you can't function. Do you realize, friends, that when you get saved, God doesn't want you hanging on all these support systems. He has every intention to see you grow and walk on your own two feet. Hey, listen, you ought to be strong apart from your family. Hey, listen, the Christian life is an individual choice. It's not a collective one. Just because your family's doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, doesn't mean you are. And one day you're going to be held accountable for what you do, not for the collective choices of your family. You'll be held accountable for what you as an individual do. But he couldn't do that which was right in the eyes of the Lord apart from Jehoiada. He was afraid. He was fearful. It's interesting that Benedict Arnold is the name that's synonymous with betrayal. Benedict Arnold should have been the most successful individual in American history. But yet when you hear his name, even today, if you don't even know the story, you hear Benedict Arnold, you think of betrayal. It's been said that the motivation for Benedict Arnold to defect from the Continental Army over to the British Army came down to the fact that he was bitter towards not receiving the credit for the Great Battle of Saratoga. Horatio Gates, who was kind of an inept general, according to history at times, took all the credit for what Benedict Arnold did. And that crucial turn in the war was what brought the French to say, we're going to put our support behind the Continental Army. So the turn of the war could have been right back to the point of the Battle of Saratoga. And all the work that Benedict Arnold put into that, putting himself at risk, he got no credit for himself. You see, he wasn't motivated for the right reasons. And today, he's known as Benedict Arnold. Boy, what a horrible defection. But that's what we see in Joash, friends. We see a man that had it all, who was saved from a horrible life and given so much structure, direction. He was given it all, especially stability. But he left it all. Friends, don't you get it? Do you realize that right now there's a huge defection in the broader evangelical world? Just in the last few weeks, there's been two prominent so-called Christians that have left the faith. One was from the group of Hillsong. The other one was the author Josh Harris. And I'm brokenhearted for that. I don't see any joy in that at all. But I wonder why. I wonder why. Is it possible that doing the good things and writing the good books and all the songs, is it possible they did it because they were dependent on something else than the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it possible they went out of us, but we're not of us? Is it not possible that one day we're going to go and we'll see the judgments come out? There's going to be some at the great white throne judgment, and they'll say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not do many wonderful works? Did we not even cast out devils?" You know what Jesus will say to certain individuals that will be a shock to us because we don't know? He'll say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You were never saved." Boy, that's a horrible thing to think about. But friends, God doesn't want anybody here to not be settled where they're going to spend eternity. And God doesn't want you to be wavering and being waffling when it comes to your own faith. He wants you to stand strong on the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. If we were to read your story, would we find out that you're doing right just because of somebody else? Are you here at church because somebody brought you, or did you want to be here? Do you say you love Jesus because somebody else is the bigger motivation other than Jesus? Why do you do what's right? It's a good question to ask. The downside to a spiritual crutch. The downside for Joash, first of all, is he was spoiled. Everything that was good in his life was stripped right out of his hands. And my friends, it didn't take much. It only took a small company of soldiers, a little band of raiders. They came and they destroyed King Joash. That's a downside. I see another downside is that he was stricken with his own problems. Verse 25, it says, "When they departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest." Oh, he was stricken with his own disease. Most likely he went to a battle that he probably didn't need to have. A battle that when he was stuck with the sword, he was left with the diseases. And that was the downfall to his own health. His disease, he was stricken. Something that he should have never faced. I see, thirdly, he was shamed. He was slighted of the honor that a king ought to have had. Verse 25 says that they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchers of the kings. Which is a lot different than Jehoiada. Look at verse 16. This was Jehoiada's burial. "And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house." Jehoiada got all the honor, and the shame came to Joash because he used Jehoiada as a spiritual crutch. That's a horrible downside. You know, I wonder at times when we've had people that serve at the camp ministry and they've gotten all those good things, such as a good structure, a good support system, the Word of God preached to them twice a day for 2 months out of the year. What would compel them to not stay in church? Earlier this summer, a mother of one of our former summer staffers was in the hallway where we have pictures of all the years that I've been here. I've been now at the camp 8 summers, and we have all the summer staff pictures there on the wall. every once in a while I'll go and I'll look at that, and I'll look at the pictures of the past, and I'll think about where some of those staff are today. And some of those memories are good memories, because I'll think of, oh, that individual, they got married to this individual that was on the summer staff, and they're serving the Lord at this church over here. And oh, that one's in the ministry, or that one went to Bible college, and that one loves God. Oh, I remember them. They're good friends to this day. But then I'll look at certain individuals in those photographs, and I'll go, I wonder what happened to them. Boy, I don't hear from them anymore. Or I'll look at this individual, and I'll go, I can't believe they don't go to church anymore. I can't believe that one renounced their faith. What took place? Earlier this summer, a mother of one of the former staffers, I saw them looking at the picture of where their child served, and I saw tears coming down her eye, because I wonder if she was thinking the same thing. What happened? Here's the deal. Was Joash a believer? Whew. I don't know, because it says he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord while Jehoiada was around. A man that did so much good can still miss the mark. My friends, you don't have to miss the mark today. Hey, you don't have to be dependent upon some crutch. You can know without a doubt certain things about God and certain things about yourself. And you can get it settled today. Don't have a spiritual crutch in your life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment of invitation?